अथमिनन्दस्य जनार्दनस्तलके चक्षुस्मृतान्तेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्वपितं येन वदते स्वयं रूपकदामाय वदति स्वयं
There's a wonderful ending to the sixth chapter of the tenth canto of the Bhagavatam. Of course, the tenth canto of the Bhagavatam begins with describing Krishna's, the reasons for Krishna's birth, his advent, because there was an overwhelmingly demonic, asuric population, or the power in the world was being transferred to extremely powerful but demonic persons, asuras, extremely powerful. And the first thing that asuras do is they harass those with spiritual sentiments. So the world was moving in a terrible way, and the earth was feeling the burden of this movement towards, how to say it, evil. And this is an interesting question. What do we do if we see that things are very difficult in our own lives? And we can learn something from what Bhumi did. Because Bhumi, the earth, approached the Lord, actually Lord Brahma, and prayed for some assistance. Because when we're in difficulty, when life is extremely difficult, as it was for Bhumima to the earth, it's very interesting to note where our own mind goes for shelter. Where do we seek shelter in difficulty? Some people just continuously go to the movies, and some people just surf the internet, and some people just open up the refrigerator, or some people just go shopping and shopping and shopping. But of course, these shelters where our mind seeks relief, they're actually durasraya. They are not true shelters. They are false shelters. As they say in Bombay, it is just time passing. Just a way to make us forget the actual situation. But what Bhumi did was she sought the Lord's intervention, the Lord's help. And as she approached Lord Brahma in the ocean of milk, in a very wonderful place, there was a message transmitted to her, and that message, or through Lord Brahma to her, is don't worry, because the Lord himself is going to advent, and the advent of the Lord to protect the earth at that time was not anyone but the Supreme Personality of God himself, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna himself, the all-powerful Supreme Lord, decided that now is the time for my own advent. When there is difficulty, or when there is an overburdening of the earth, Krishna can remove it with a snap of his fingers, the blinking of his eye, or just his icha shakti, his desire, can change everything. But when Krishna himself comes, he doesn't exactly come to remove the burden of the earth. But the all-powerful Supreme Lord comes for something still more wonderful. He comes to display his transcendental, incredible, sweet and attractive pastimes. They are called Naralila, or they mimic the activities of ordinary persons in this world. But when Krishna acts, it is most wonderful. It is most wonderful because Krishna means the all-attractive. So when Krishna performs his pastimes in this world, they are especially meant to attract our minds. So when Krishna advented himself, he first came, took his birth in Mathura, and then was transferred by Vasudev, and he first appeared as Chaturbhuja Krishna with forearms, and then he was transferred by Vasudeva across which river? Yamuna River to Gokul, where Vasudeva took the just born child of Yasodamaya, a girl child, back to Mathura, and Krishna ended up growing up in the most charming of all places. Raise your hand if you've been to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Raise your hand if you've been to Vrindavan. Oh, so many of the devotees here have been to Vrindavan. Did you think Vrindavan was very sweet? Special. There's something special in the atmosphere. Have you been to Vrindavan? When was the last time you were in Vrindavan? It was a bit too long ago, perhaps. Because Prabhupada says in the Krishna book that even if a non-devotee, or to speak of the devotees, visit Vrindavan, they will experience separation from Krishna. The sweetness is thick. The air is thick with the sweetness of the soul's sweet relationship with Krishna. So, there in Gokul and later on in the Vrindavan forest, the Nandagam in the Vrindavan forest, Krishna performs his activities, his pastimes. And there is such an incredible mixture of Krishna acting as if he's just an ordinary boy. And then, just when we start thinking, oh, I've seen many young boys do things like this, like stealing butter and this and that. So many naughty activities. Just when we start thinking like that, then Krishna does something extremely wonderful, extremely powerful, full of Aishwarya, full of his great potency and opulence. And then we say, oh, yes, Krishna is so wonderful. He's so powerful. But then he does something like an ordinary boy. So while we're hearing the Leela, the pastimes of Krishna, we should remember that Krishna is all powerful. In his Angshan Kala of Karana Dakshai Vishnu, universes stream from the pores of his skin. Mama Angsha Tejo Sambhava Srimad Urjitam Evava. All that is beautiful, all power in this world is resting on him. It is essential that we know this for two reasons. One is that we don't think that Krishna is ordinary. He's completely extraordinary. And second, so that we know that when we are in difficulty, we can actually take shelter of Krishna. When our power, our own potency, our own intelligence proves insufficient, as it must always prove insufficient, then we should go to Krishna. And he's so easily accessible in the form of his vigraha, his deity form, and also he's accessible and most accessible in the Yuga Dharma of chanting Krishna's holy names. Krishna abhinatam namanamano porno shudya nitya mukto. Krishna is liberated in the form of his holy names. He's not part of this world. He is always Krishna, all-powerful. And the name of Krishna and Krishna are exactly the same. So when we need a shelter in this world, we should remember the holy name of Krishna and chant Krishna's holy names. So why don't we just do that right now? Just everyone together, put your hands in the air and say, repeat after me, Hare!
Hare!
Oh, I forgot to say repeat loudly. Yeah, sorry. I mean, we want to chant so loudly that all the devotees in Melbourne hear us. Now, it's how many hours later in Melbourne? Two or three? 2 hours. So now it's 10 o'clock. And there's probably 10,000 devotees trying to cram their way into the Melbourne temple. So we should say Hare Krishna so loudly that they even hear us and say, oh, in Perth they're chanting so loudly and freely. Okay, Hare!
Hare!
Krishna!
Krishna!
Hare!
Hare!
Krishna!
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 Hare! We're not over yet. Hare!
Hare!
Rama!
Rama!
Hare!
Hare!
Rama!
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 Hare!
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 I think they probably heard. Maybe even in New Zealand they heard when they did so loudly. In the land of Kiwi. So Krishna is actually there in his name. But he's also there in his pastimes, his activities. Now, the first asura that Krishna killed in this world, who knows who that was? Who was the first one? Putana. Who was it? Yes. And then, at the end of that chapter, which is the sixth chapter of the tenth canto, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking. He's speaking to Maharaj Prickett. Maharaj Prickett is in a very difficult situation. Does anyone know why? Why? Within 7 days, due to the curse, he was going to die. And he asked the question, what should I do during my last days? And all the sages agreed with Sukadeva's proposal that you chant the holy names and you hear this beautiful Bhagavatam. So at the end of this sixth chapter, after Putana was killed, this is what Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Prickett. Please listen carefully because it is very relevant. Any person who hears with faith and devotion about how Krishna, who is Bhagavan Swayam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, any person who hears this pastime with faith and devotion of how Krishna killed Putana, and who invests his hearing in such childhood pastimes, Krishna's wonderful pastimes in Gokul, Golok, and Vrindavan. Anyone who hears these pastimes certainly will attain attachment for Govinda, the original Supreme Person. Now, when Maharaj Prickett hears this, there's a bit of a long verse, it's actually two verses, but it's worthwhile to listen to it. and then we shall tell the next pastime. Maharaj Prickett said, because these are the closing days of his life, he said, Sukadev Goswami, all the variety of activities exhibited by the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are so many incarnations. There is Varaha Dev. There is Lord Nasringa Dev. There is who? Lord Ram, Korma, Matsya. So many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's the Das Avatars. There's Parsaram. There's even Kalki. They're all, when we hear of them, it gives pleasure to the ear and the mind. Simply by hearing of these activities, all the dirty things, the contaminations, the unwanted items in the heart and mind, they vanish immediately by the process of hearing. Generally, and this is what Maharaj Prickett says, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord. We have so many other things that we'd like to hear about, but we are reluctant to hear about the avatars of Krishna. But Krishna's activities, especially his childhood activities, are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and ear. Thus, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of our material existence, vanishes. The root cause, very interesting, the root cause of our material existence, the soul's existence within a material body, trying to enjoy the items of this world, which is impossible to do. But the root cause of that is hearing about material activities. Why is that the root cause? And the answer is, when materialistic activities enters our consciousness through our ear, that creates further material desires. And when we increase our material desires, which means, according to the Bhagavad Gita, we increase the mode of passion, rajagunosamudbhava, the result of that is that we have to continue our material existence to fulfill those desires. Desires are carried, adishtayam manastayam visha upasevate. They are carried within the heart and the consciousness. And they carry us to our next birth. So it is very important that we focus our consciousness upon what is actually healthy for us, what is actually good for us, guaranteeing our future. One of the most important things a parent does for his child is ensure that they have proper education so that they can use their life profitably. So education is not complete without this Raja Vidya, the education about spiritual life, because that is the ultimate and most proper use of our life, and that will determine our next life. So Maharaj Prickett says, one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of our material existence, it vanishes. And one gradually develops devotional service for the Supreme Lord and attachment for Him and friendship with devotees who give us the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Maharaj Prickett says to Sukadeva, because his days are running out, the hourglass of his life is reaching near the end. So he says, if you think it fit, kindly speak about the activities of the Lord, because I want my consciousness to be absorbed in the pastimes, activities, and the form of Krishna, because my time is running out. So Sukadeva Goswami immediately began speaking about the pastimes of Krishna. Very sweet pastimes. But yet these pastimes are achintya. Achintya means inconceivable. Because how is it that this unlimitedly powerful Lord is lying in the bed at the age of 3 months old, and suddenly, for the first time, he's able to turn over by his own power? He's 3 months old, and for the first time, he turns over onto his back by his own power. He's unlimitedly powerful. Universes effortlessly come from the pores of his skin. At the age of 3 months, just prior to this, he kills Putana, who was a mystic yogini. But yet, in displaying his childish pastimes to attract the hearts and consciousness of everyone, he turns over. And what does Mother Yasoda do when he turns over for the first time? Her heart is filled with joy, because her beloved son, who is the all-attractive jewel of Braja, has turned over for the first time, and her heart becomes filled with jubilation. And they decide to perform a ceremony to celebrate this auspicious event. And the Brahmins are invited, and everyone in the neighborhood comes to this festival. And what? It is 3 months after Krishna's birth. So it is 3 months from this month. So August, September, October, November. But yet, everyone comes. Everyone in the village comes to celebrate, because everyone is so attracted to Krishna. Because who would not be attracted to Krishna? His body is so tender. It is darkest. He is called Shyam, Shyamasunda. Because his body is darkest, he is called Ghanasyam. Because his body is darkest, like a fresh rain cloud, but very effulgent. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Vrindavan in the rainy season. This season. Very special. The clouds in Vrindavan during that season, especially in the morning time, they are very dark. And sometimes, when the sun is shining from behind those clouds, it is darkest, but the clouds are simultaneously effulgent. It is so unique. The clouds are perfectly effulgent, but darkish, just like the complexion of Krishna. So everyone was so attracted to Krishna. And Krishna, this young boy, 3 months old, at this festival, to honor his turning over for the first time, he became very hungry for his mother's milk. So Mother Yasoda held Krishna. And this was the greatest pleasure of her heart. These early years are especially meant first for the mother and then for the father. And she held Krishna. And all of her affection in the form of milk, her love, nourished Krishna in the form of her breast milk. And she drank, and Krishna drank that and drank that. And he was so satisfied, he then fell asleep. And then there were so many guests also that had come. There were so many guests, and she had to welcome them and say, "Hello, how are you? Thank you for coming for this festival. So nice. How is your mother? How is your father?" So many social polite dealings had to go on. But she was holding Krishna, who wanted to take rest. He wanted to rest. So she put Krishna beneath a cart, shielding him from the hot sun, which is also sometimes comes in the month of Kartika. She put him under a big cart, and she greeted and took care of the guests. But all was not meant to be peaceful, because there was one asura, an associate of Kamsa, whose name was Shakatasura, the cart demon. He thought that Putana assumed the form of a beautiful woman, and she could not kill Krishna. "I will try something else. I will become formless like the air." And this asura entered into the cart, especially the wheel of the cart, and he was just looking for an opportunity to kill Krishna, because this was what Kamsa wanted, to kill all the children. And Krishna knew he was there. And Krishna woke up, and his mother wasn't there. And what will every healthy baby do? When he wants his mother to be there, and he's hungry, and wants to drink milk, what all the experienced mothers should tell us, what will every healthy baby do? And Krishna, who is capable of eating universes, began to cry. And his mother was busy, and his mother didn't hear him. So Krishna, who is very expert at doing more than accomplishing many things with one act, he took his lotus foot. And the cart, which was very big at this time, because of the demon's weight, as it described in the Brahmanda Purana, it began to sink into the earth. And Krishna, without exerting any energy, practically speaking, he kicked his foot. A 3-month-year-old baby kicked his foot. And Krishna was thinking, "My mother won't come, she's too busy. I'll cause such a ruckus and commotion that she'll be forced to come." And he kicked his foot and kicked the demon out of the cart and killed the demon, and the whole huge cart and everything, all the utensils and the food, went smashing and flying into the sky, and the cart fell down to the ground all broken. And Krishna was just sitting there crying and crying. And Mother Yasoda and everyone else came running over. They said, "What happened? What happened? We had placed them under this cart, and suddenly the whole cart is broken to pieces." And the little boy is crying. And they picked him up. "Oh, are you okay?" And Mother Yasoda fed him, and Krishna said, "No, I'm okay." He didn't say it, but okay, this is what I wanted. Okay. Because that's one thing we can be sure of, that Krishna, what Krishna wants, will always happen. And this is actually the secret of living a successful life. If you align your life to what Krishna wants, you're guaranteed a full success, because what Krishna wants always happens. But usually we have our plans regardless of what Krishna wants, and then the universe, instead of becoming Vishwa Purna Sukhayate, it becomes Dukalayama Shashvatam Anitya Sukaloka. So after that, they asked some young boys who were about, even younger than you. How old are you? 7, 10? What's the average of 7 and 10? Not quite.
3.
Not quite. I once saw a little cartoon in a magazine, and the teacher is telling the boy in class, because one day your computer might break, that's why you have to learn how to add and subtract. That's easy. Okay. Yes. So, they asked me, young boys, how old are you? Just your age. How old are you? How old? 6. A very nice, gentle 6-year-old boy who likes very much to listen. What is your name?
Huh? Ishan.
Very nice. And what is your name?
Lakun.
And your name?
Hi.
Very nice. And your name? And yours? Very nice. And you? What's that nice smile? What's your name? Very nice. If the children can learn to hear about Krishna, oh, how fortunate they are. That taste goes into their heart. How fortunate they are. So they asked the young children nearby, you saw what happened. What happened? How did the cart break apart like that? And one of the young boys said, oh, Krishna just touched it with his lotus foot and it broke apart. And the adult said, no. Children are known for telling lies or not exactly perceiving things properly. It couldn't be that is the cause. But they couldn't understand what had happened. Because whatever body Krishna is in, whether he's in, what not within, but whatever form Krishna is at that time, it's still all powerful. And later on, we shall hear how this is so. So just directly after this was happening, Mother Yasoda picked Krishna up. And a few days had passed. And she took Krishna and she threw him in the air. You know how mothers do that sometimes? Does your mother still do that to you? Takes your father, throws you in the air, yes? Throws you in. The baby, the little babies go, they put their hands in the air and they laugh and they laugh and laugh. Do you ever do that to your, did you do that to your little baby? Yes? Throw in the air and then the children laugh. But Krishna, being Krishna, he thought, that's not high enough. I want to go really high in the air. So Mother Yasoda was just carrying him, and she was just chanting his glories, just thinking about, oh, how beautiful Krishna. For when Mother Yasoda would be separated from Krishna for one moment, tears would come from her eyes. Oh, she is the perfection of motherly love. So, Krishna knew that there was going to be some trouble. So suddenly, while Mother Yasoda was carrying him, he became heavy. And then after he became heavy, he became heavier. And then after he became heavier, he became still heavier. Because Krishna has the capacity to be unlimitedly heavy. He's unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly strong, unlimitedly full of knowledge, unlimitedly wealthy, and unlimitedly heavy. So he became so heavy that Mother Yasoda couldn't carry him anymore. Because he didn't want Mother Yasoda to be caught up when his next pastime took place. So Mother Yasoda became worried. Oh, maybe some evil spirit has attacked this boy and filled him with so much weight. So So she called for some Brahmins to chant some mantras to protect him. And then, suddenly, the sky over Vrindavan became darkened. And wind, just like today, started blowing everywhere. And suddenly, this third demon, named Trinavarta, appeared in Vrindavan. He had seen that Putin had been killed. He had seen that Shakatasura had been killed. And he tried a different tactic. He decided to take the form of a whirlwind and take Krishna away. And then his plan on behalf of Kamsa was to kill Krishna. All those who think Trinavarta is going to be successful in killing Krishna, raise your hand. There are no one here is on Kamsa's side. All those who think that Trinavarta is going to be killed by Krishna, put your hands in the air and say, Hari Bol! Oh, I forgot to say Hari Bol loudly. All those who think that Trinavarta is going to be killed by Krishna, put your hands in the air and loudly say, Hari Bol! Very good, very good. So Trinavarta came and he grabbed Krishna. And because of the dust and darkness, no one could see anything. And this dust and darkness is compared to tamagun, ignorance. When we are covered by ignorance, we cannot see anything actually or accurately. So all of Vrindavan, everyone in Vrindavan began to lament. And especially Mother Yasoda could not see Krishna. And she began to cry and cry and cry. And Krishna, meanwhile, was taken away high in the sky by this Trinavarta whirlwind demon who was holding on to Krishna, taking him higher and higher. And Krishna was thinking, oh, this is fun. This is so nice. I hope we go to Swargaloka. I want to see so many things. Higher and higher and higher. And he was holding on to Krishna. So Krishna wouldn't let go. Before, when Mother Yasoda was holding Krishna, he was as heavy as practically the universe. She couldn't hold him anymore. And then Krishna became as light as one piece of grass. Trina. So Trinavarta was able to easily take him up into the sky, and then Trinavarta was holding Krishna, and Krishna started thinking, oh, he's holding me. I should also hold him. So Krishna grabbed him around the neck. You get the point. Yes. Very good. And then Krishna began to get heavier and heavier and heavier. Heavier and heavier. And Trinavarta couldn't maintain his form as this whirlwind, and suddenly he became this horrible, huge figure. And he was trying to push Krishna away. Go, go! But Krishna said, I'm hugging you. Why should I go? And then the demon fell down to the earth so rapidly and crash-landed into a big piece of stone on his back. And Krishna just happily played on the demon's back. And all the residents of Vrindavan were saying, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And this is perfection of consciousness. Usually, nowadays, forgive me for saying it, everyone is just thinking and saying, or they're thinking even if they're not saying, Where is money? Where is money? Where is money? I want to capture some. But that is not the perfection of consciousness. The perfection of consciousness is thinking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Because what will truly satisfy us?
Krishna.
Very good. Very good. You know a lot of answers. It is Krishna. It is Krishna. And Krishna won't come until we really and only want Him. Sometimes we think, oh, I want Krishna. I want to love Krishna. And Krishna inside the heart will say, really? You only want me? Well, let's see. Let's see what you really want. You really want Krishna? I hope so. Because Krishna is there. And when we want to be with Him, seriously and only, immediately, Krishna comes. Immediately. Yeya tamam prapadyante tamsta kaiva bhajamyam. Immediately. So, all the residents of Vrindavan, especially Mother Yasoda, they all were focused on Krishna. And this is the specific quality of the residents of Vrindavan. They thought only of Krishna. Everything they did was for Krishna's pleasure. They were the supreme lovers of Krishna. So then they came and they saw that this demon was lying dead on the ground, and that Krishna was sitting upon his chest, the demon on his back, and the demon was dead, and he had taken Krishna away, and Krishna was playing and having a good time. And they picked Krishna up. Oh, Krishna, 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 are you all right? Are you all right? Their love was so intense and sweet and supreme. And they began to think, how is it that this boy, first there was this Putana, then Shakatasura, and then Trinavarta, this other whirlwind, how is it that he's always been saved? Because they were pious. They understood that this is the grace of God. Because of Nanda and Yasoda's piety and purity, this boy has been saved time and time again from all kinds of calamities. Their love was so intense and pure that they had little realization that he was God. Supreme. So, Nanda Maharaj came by and he said, let us not let Krishna out of the house anymore. Let us keep him inside, and we can protect him in this way. Please, Mother Yasoda Maya, don't let Krishna out anymore. So, for the next few days, Krishna was inside. And all the residents of Nanda Maharaj's palace, they had the opportunity to see him all day long. And they played games with Krishna. One day, Krishna saw a reflection of the moon in a pot of water. And he asked one of the elderly gopis who were there, what's that? What's that? And he said, oh, that's the moon. And what's it made out of? Oh, the moon is made out of, it's a sweet, made out of ghee. And Krishna immediately began crying, I want that, I want that. And she took a sweet made out of ghee and said, here's some of it for you, Krishna. And then Krishna ate it. And he was satisfied.
But how much love? Because it is love that brings us happiness. It is love that brings us happiness. It's the exchange with our friends, our family members. People we love, that's where the happiness comes from. And when our love includes love of Krishna, little exchanges, oh Krishna, here is a sweet, fill us with so much happiness. The devotees come on Janmashtami. They love to give. They love to give something to Krishna. It brings them happiness because of their affection for Krishna. And then some of the elderly gopis said, Krishna, can you dance? And Krishna started dancing in his childish way. And the gopis were clapping and Krishna was dancing. And everyone was feeling such happiness. Sometimes Krishna would shake his arms and say, look how strong I am. Like a young boy. Who's stronger? You or
them?
Okay. There's more of them than you right now. Okay, a wise answer. But this is the way boys are. They're always wrestling. They always want to show how strong they are. I'm stronger than you. No, you're not stronger than me. I'm stronger than you. So Krishna would challenge his friends and they would wrestle a little bit in the palace. And then, although Krishna was feeling, or the parents, Nanda Maharaj, was feeling, oh, it's much safer to be inside. Do you think Krishna liked to be inside all day?
No.
No. Why?
Because it's boring and not
even if there's lots of people to play with, naturally the young boys and the young girls like to go outside and run and play. Huh? Yes. Yeah. Mother is so in Krishna. So Krishna devised, actually Krishna's yoga maya devised a way for Krishna to go outside quickly. So one day, as Mother Yasoda was about to feed Krishna, just like that, for no reason, Krishna opened his mouth to yawn. And inside Krishna's mouth, Mother Yasoda looked and she saw universes. She saw earths and planets and the seas and the stars and trees and oceans. And she thought, my boy, I knew he was very exceptional, but this is incredible. This is incredible. And in the right after this happened, the next chapter, it also describes that one day Krishna was out playing with Balaram and his other friends, and the boys went to Mother Yasoda and said, your boy Krishna has eaten dirt. And then, because Krishna was a bit naughty. Mother Yasoda took Krishna nearby and said, Krishna, have you eaten dirt? And Krishna said, no. I'll tell you what really happened. They wanted me, they had stolen, Balaram and the other boys had stolen some sweets. And because I know that you never will let me eat any sweets that are stolen, and I never steal any sweets or any butter or anything, they told me that I should eat these sweets and butter, and I said, no, I won't do it. And they said, we're going to get you in trouble. And that's why they come to you. saying that I've eaten sweets, I've eaten dirt. They said they were going to get in trouble. And then not only that, but a few days ago, they were eating dirt. And I told them that I was going to tell you that they've eaten dirt, because I would never do something like that. And they decided to get me in trouble and to tell you that I've eaten dirt just so that you wouldn't believe me when I would tell the truth that they've eaten dirt. Krishna's a real Brijbasi. He knows how to tell very good stories. So Mother Yasoda didn't know what to do. So she said, okay, Krishna, if you have not eaten dirt, open up your mouth. And Mother Yasoda looked in Krishna's mouth. And the second time, the first time is what we're hearing now, the second time she looked in Krishna's mouth, she saw all of existence, practically speaking. And she thought, what is going on here? She thought, could this be insanity on my part? And she thought, no, everything else seems to be working properly. Maybe the demigods have put some magic on me, some jadu or something, and therefore I'm seeing this. No, I don't have anything to do with the demigods. And she began to wonder, and she thought, maybe my boy is so powerful that he's the Supreme Lord. And then when she began to think like this, Krishna began to think, uh-oh, if she thinks I'm the Supreme Lord, then who is going to feed me? And who's going to give me her embraces like only my mother knows how to embrace? So Krishna then, immediately, Krishna's yoga maya covered up Mother Yasoda, this understanding. She said, anyway, close your mouth. Oh, my dear boy, I worry about you all day long. You're so active. Just please don't eat any dirt anymore. Don't. And then she embraced him. Because Krishna is all powerful, but he is captured by the love of his devotees. Captured by the love of his devotees. So when Mother Yasoda, after Krishna had been inside for so long, when Krishna yawned and saw the universe in Krishna's mouth, she thought, oh, my boy, he's so special. And then immediately, Nanda Maharaj came by. And Nanda said to Yasoda, have you been following my instruction to keep Krishna inside? And Yasoda said, yes. But actually, I don't think it's necessary. I just looked in his mouth and I saw all the universes. I think he's protected by a different power. There's no need to keep him inside. And when Nanda Maharaj heard this, he understood this is of course true. And then Krishna got out to go, was able to go outside and play again. So Krishna's pastimes are actually so wonderful. They're inconceivable. And if we, on Shrota Brahma, that if we hear regularly Krishna's pastimes, it will bring such satisfaction to our heart. So Srila Prabhupada, who did something so amazing, not amazing, but impossible, by bringing and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, he placed so much emphasis on this one book, not this one volume, but this one book known as Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, when Prabhupada arrived in the United States for the first time, he first arrived in Boston Harbor in 1965, just a few days after he had turned 70 years old. Just a few days after Janmashtami, he arrived in Boston Harbor, and then he started singing. He wrote a poem at that time, and in that poem, he said, "How will I be able to convince them, O Lord Krishna? How will I convince these people of your message, of this wonderful lifestyle?" The people here in this country, they don't know anything about Krishna. They know nothing about the Vedic culture. They are covered by passion, by ignorance. What is good they think is bad, and what is bad they think is good. They're upside down. They don't understand the purpose of life. They don't understand the eternality of the soul. They think they are their body. They think the purpose of life is just to enjoy. They forget that the body is doomed. So how will I be able to convince them of your message? Prabhupada wrote this in a wonderful poem. And then he said, "But I have full faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I have faith that if somehow or another, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Vidyanti Stoya Bhadrani Vidyanotik Savitsitam, I have full faith that if they will just simply hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, if they will simply hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna," this is what that verse means, "that Krishna from within their heart, Krishna himself from within their heart will purify them. And he will cause them to understand." And therefore, before Prabhupada left on the Jaladuta, he had this book with him, the first three volumes, the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then with the Bhagavatam in his hand, he felt confident. He felt confident that people can actually have a transformation from the core of their heart. They can actually learn to love Krishna. This book is so wonderful. If you don't keep this book in your home, if you don't have it yet, I would strongly advise you to get a set of these Srimad Bhagavatams. They bring all auspiciousness to the house. If you don't yet have a set of Srimad Bhagavatams, please get a set. They are so wonderful. And make sure you tell your children these stories, these pastimes about Krishna. Okay. It seems it's time for our next event. So thank you very much. You listened very, very carefully, especially the children, not the adults also. But we are very, very attentive. I know it's not easy. It's late at night. It's not easy to sit. And this goes for everyone. It's not easy to sit late at night and just listen. We want to do something. But you all listen very, very carefully. And thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai. Oh, before we stop, this is one more time, but all together. This time we'll chant all together instead of just Hari and then you say it, but all together we'll chant three times. But prepare yourself and to chant loudly. Are you ready? You ready?
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You're ready.
Yeah.
You're ready. Okay. Okay, now I'm going to pass this microphone to someone who's really ready. You, come up here. Okay, you stand up. You hold this microphone, and you loudly, okay, one Hare Krishna mantra. Okay, you ready?
Hare Krishna!
Hare
Krishna!
Krishna! Hare Krishna!
Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
Come on. Thank you very much. Now you go. One time for you. And you four are next, all together. Okay. I'll help you, okay? Okay? This one is very, very gentle. Like a flower petal. Like a lotus flower petal. He has to be taken care of very sweetly. Okay, everyone. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
All the children, together. Very good. You did very well. Come, you two. You two, again. You can come too. Come on. Okay, this time I'm going to hold the mic. No, you can hold it. You can hold it. Okay. Who's the oldest? Okay. What's your name?
Pujan.
Okay, Pujan. Okay, everyone together. And encourage them by chanting loudly and nicely. Hare
Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
Okay. You say Hare Bol. Say Hare Bol. Say Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Radhe Sham.
Radhe
Sham. Very good. Very good. Okay, thank you.
Let's give a warm applause to his grace.